Chris Pappas joining us live, GMI Studios. And Congressman Pappas, just I think it was, might have been yesterday, sworn in for a third term in Congress. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Jack. It's great to be with you.
Well, sworn in for a third term. Interesting week or so, as they say, in Congress. And I have to ask you, as a sitting member now in your third term, what's the mood and tone like after last week's chaotic process of Republicans who get the majority finally, but trying, was it 15 votes to get a new House Speaker in Kevin McCarthy? What's the mood like in Washington? What's the mood like, the tone in Congress? Are things moving on, or is there some aftermath from that?
Well, I think there's a lot of relief this week that we were able to get through all those parliamentary hurdles last week. We felt like we were in purgatory for most of the week, as we were just sort of held hostage by this group of 20 or so folks on the far right that were trying to extract demands from Kevin McCarthy. So we took, I think, 16 votes in the race for Speaker. I would have hoped that that kind of negotiation among Republicans would have been done well before we were supposed to be sworn in on January 3rd, so that we were ready to go. What ended up happening was, without a speaker, you can't have rules. You can't introduce legislation. There are no committees still that even exist in Congress. Those haven't been set up yet. So, you know, the work hasn't been moving forward over the last week. So I think most members now are relieved that we've gotten to this moment where we've taken the oath of office. We'll be getting committee assignments soon, and the work can move forward. I think, and we've talked about this, the message from the last election was not that people love the way Washington works. They're frustrated with the process. They don't like extremism. They want people to work together. And this was not a good start for this Congress. I hope people got it out of their system and that we can move beyond that. And it's going to take members on both sides to come together and find a way forward.
Well, you know, you've talked about things that I don't know how this is going to work. I want to talk about the fentanyl crisis in a moment, Representative Pappas, but I think you, going into the holidays, I saw some release from your office that you were concerned about some of the measures that had passed before that require, for example, financial reporting of $600 or more in bank accounts or some of the online PayPal things. You, I think you've spoken up, worried about things like that. How are things going to pass Congress now, even if there's consensus and bipartisan support? Because the Republicans seem to have, in these new rules, it's going to be hard for them to pass something. And then if something does pass, it might not get through the Senate. So are we looking at some gridlock here?
Potentially, and that's always the risk in Washington. But the way you overcome that, I think, is by pulling people from both sides together. That's the only way we're going to get the regular business done, things like the defense bill, the appropriations bills, dealing with paying the bills that we've racked up over a long period of time and getting back to some fiscal responsibility. So this isn't a Republican-only answer. Democrats are going to have to be involved in this, too, even though Republicans hold the majority now. And, you know, I'm willing to vote for Republican bills and bring them to the floor and listen to my colleagues and figure out how I can be part of the solution. You know, when it comes to issues like the fentanyl crisis, like mental health, taking care of our veterans, those things shouldn't be partisan, party line issues. And we found some common ground in the past. I think we can continue to do that. So despite the chaos, I'm trying to stay optimistic. I'm trying to meet some of the new members and get to know them. And I think once our committees get going, we'll see great opportunities to move things in the right direction.
Well, yesterday we had on Chris Stawaz, American Medical Response, highlighting the fentanyl, not just overdose numbers, but the death numbers. And this stuff is getting more toxic, more potent. And tell us about the SAFE Act, because that's something that would make sense to me.
Well, and it's something that has been in place on a temporary basis, but this looks to go after these fentanyl analogs, these highly toxic, deadly fentanyl lookalikes that the cartels are trafficking into our country. And we've got to make sure that we have regulations in the right place so that we can go after these substances. This would be blanket Schedule One for all these fentanyl analogs. I've passed legislation that does this on a temporary basis. We've got to make those rules permanent. But then we have to look at this from both a supply and demand perspective. We know that Customs and Border Patrol needs more manpower, more resources, more investment. I'm hopeful we can deliver that. And then the other end of the equation is also making sure people have the help that they need. People are struggling. We are seeing overdose rates continuing to increase. And law enforcement in New Hampshire will tell you, you just can't arrest your way out of this. you have to have solutions for people and prevention, education, treatment. We've come a long way on that front, but you got to sustain that because, you know, if right. you're dealing with addiction, you're dealing with that for the rest of your life.
Right. And we're going to hear from some experts this week on that. Representative Pappas, I just want to touch upon this because I think I applaud this effort because I worry about our high electricity rates here and our energy in New England. And you're asking, I believe, the Department of Energy to really do an assessment of the Northeast Petroleum Product Reserves and kind of our whole situation here with heating oil and gasoline reserves. And you and I both know it takes natural gas to make electricity. We had the head of Eversource send a letter in October, I believe, to President Biden saying, hey, suspend the Jones Act. You know, we need to get more affordable natural gas to make electricity. Would this catch some momentum here, what you're trying to do? Do you think more people, your colleagues in the Northeast, members of Congress in Maine, New Hampshire, will come together saying we need to make some changes here for the better for people to afford to keep the lights on and their homes warm?
Yes, and I think that there should be interest on both sides to stop exporting oil and gas to other parts of the world to make sure that we're meeting our needs first. There's actually a Republican-led bill that I think we'll be voting on soon that will ban sales from the Strategic Reserve to nations like China. That's something where Republicans and Democrats can get together. But I've got legislation in that looks to bolster our strategic reserves and for the Department of Energy to actually conduct an audit. They're woefully under-resourced, especially in the Northeast region, where we know we have seen huge spikes in home heating oil. And we may be saved by the fact that it's a warmer-than-average winter, and so usage is down. But over the long term, we've got to make sure that those strategic reserves are resilient. And I don't think they're right-sized to meet the challenges that we're going to face winter after winter. So we're hopeful to get that legislation through. I think with respect to energy generally, we know we have the highest rates in the country in the Northeast. We are seeing that this winter, both for electricity and home heating oil. And we've got to make sure that we're clear-eyed about the problem and that we have resilient resources, that we have an all-of-the-above strategy right. That's going to meet the needs of our homeowners and our businesses.
This last one, I just have to admit, Congressman Pappas, Representative Pappas, thank you for joining us. Good morning, New Hampshire. Jack Heath, the Pulse of NH. This one's a little bit out of left field, but it's really not. You know, in New Hampshire, the political cycle and calendar never stops. We just came out of the midterms in November, and we just had the inaugural address of Governor Sununu's fourth two-year term last week. Legislature's underway, and already national stories being done on whether or not New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu is looking at a national run in 2024 for president. We don't know yet, but he's not dousing those flames. He's told our own Paul Steinhauser that he's had some conversations nationally of people interested in him looking at that. And already, if the governor doesn't run for a fifth term as governor, your name is being floated with analysts as one of the top Democrats who would look at the corner offices, and you're from here. You just were sworn in for your third term of Congress. Would you ever rule out a run for governor or not, Representative Pappas?
Well, it's hard to say at this point. Look, I mean, I just took the oath of office on Saturday. I've got a job to do for 2 years, and I take it incredibly seriously. There's a lot of work ahead, and so I have a hard time thinking about what's happened in 2 years from now in the next election where we just got through the last one. But, you know, the governor's going to go through his process. He's, you know, been on all the national cable shows thinking about running for president. Regardless of what happens, we need someone representing us in Congress, serving us as governor, who's going to put the people of New Hampshire first. And I think my hope is that this will be a period right. over the next 2 years where people can work together and get right. things done. So there will be a time for campaigns. I'm sure that'll be right around the corner in New Hampshire. But we're just getting started here in term number three.
I get it, but not ruling anything out down the road.
Well, I never rule out anything with respect to how I can serve the people of New Hampshire and make a difference for people.
Representative Pappas, thank you very much. I had to ask on a Tuesday. I appreciate it. And thank you for the work also you're doing on veterans. Representative Chris Pappas, live. Good morning, New Hampshire, 1st Congressional District. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Thank you.
All right.